Welcome into 2015. It's a good Monday. Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Doing our thing, Brad Sussmat, with you for the next hour and a half, 2 hours thereabouts. We'll just see how long we want to go today. How's that? Eric Sorensen, off in 2015. Back at it with us as well. Did you have a good holiday?
Oh, I thought you were going to say I was off in 2015. That has been the best news I've gotten all year.
Wow.
Like off? Like I can take the whole year off?
5 days? 5 days in, you're already beating me up.
Yeah.
It's good to be back. Did you have a good holiday?
It wasn't bad. How about yours?
It was, we don't rehearse this stuff, so I could throw some curveballs at you. I don't know. It wasn't bad. I will admit there were some moments where I had the whole crew together. The whole Sussmat clan, and that was fun.
A little teary-eyed, getting the band back together.
That may be tomorrow morning. I've got to put the one back on a plane to Chicago tomorrow for college.
She'll be back, though. That's the great thing.
She'll be back.
Once they go, they always come back.
I will say I'm going there. I don't know. Do something like that. No, it was fine. I mean, there was just enough sports mixed in. I was in Tucson last night.
Sorry about that. Yeah. Not that you were in Tucson. I don't want to paint that picture,
no.
But you had to watch that display of basketball.
Well, even if you're a U of A fan, that wasn't a good game, but... And I saw all the playoffs and watched them back, the parts that I missed. You know, I did not see the Dallas game in real time, but went back and watched it, and just an absolutely hideous, horrendous call.
Well, of all the games over the weekend, that was the actual one playoff game that actually had some sort of playoff atmosphere.
Yeah, could you imagine being a talk show guy? Could you imagine being a fan today in Cincinnati? Okay, it's one thing for the quarterback to get run over like what happened with the Cardinals. And really, if you get down to it, the defense just being not very good for the Cardinals or the punter being horrific. It's one thing if that's the case. But if you're in Cincinnati, I know they didn't have A.J. Green. I know they didn't have Jermaine Gresham. But you still have Andy Stinkin' Dalton sitting there with $100 million tied up in him.
You can just replay the shows from the last 4 years after the first round of the playoffs with the Bengals. It's pretty much the same story.
The optimism in Arizona, because we are Arizona-centric. That's what we're all about here. Things going on in Arizona. Between how the college teams played this year and the pro team played this year, 2015, the interest in football. You've got to get if the baseball team and the basketball team and the hockey team haven't figured it out by now, that guys, you cannot put slop out there and expect people to follow you just because it's in their blood and it was something fun to do as kids.
Not in this market.
No. I mean, just the football teams here have really moved forward. I mean, 3 years ago, ASU was a disaster at football, just a train wreck. And U of A, nobody cared about. They just didn't care. And now, this year, the football interest is just going to, it's a year-round deal. I'm not going to make it every day. I may work some stuff in, but it's just the other teams in the Valley and across the state and the other sporting events have got to take notice of what's gone on here. So even I was at the Fiesta Bowl, and U of A was just awful early in that game. Just dreadful. And they finished with some boneheaded plays, but it was fun to watch that. And, of course, all the playoff games over the weekend outside of the Cardinals. So it's good to be back at it. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports. Paula Bova, News and Notes. She's going to join us at the bottom of the hour at about 10:35 from AZ Central as we have Paula with us. But now our segment brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. We transform into a casino area. Yeah, it's the start of the new year. But you've got to make your plans to get away and get out. Guys, could be Valentine's, which is just 5 weeks away. Make your plans to get on out of the valley or around the state, head up to the Honda Resort and Casino. May just be get away for a weekend, a long weekend. If you've never been to Pine Top, the place to stay, to eat great food, have some fun and terrific entertainment, it's all there for you in Pine Top at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino. Been a part of Sports360AZ.com since day number one, and we appreciate their support. That's the Honda Resort and Casino. Plenty of content on Sports360AZ.com, college, pro, high school, no particular order, things that we see are a little bit different than everybody else. All right. So I'm going to take this narrative on the Cardinals game, the loss at Carolina. Their season is over. You could very easily say it was a season of missed opportunity. That's pretty simple to say. But here's the reality of it. You have an aging quarterback that was injured, was gone for the year. He can say that he's coming back, and we can all hope that he is another Kurt Warner. But the facts are, as I look at the Cardinals moving forward, we saw the disaster of Ryan Lindley, and it's not all on the kid's shoulders. I don't know. If I sent Eric out there to play quarterback and told him, by the way, you're going to have a practice squad running back behind you, actually two practice squad running backs at one point in time this season, you're not going to have Jonathan Cooper, who's a first-round pick who hasn't played up to a first-round pick. He's going to get run over. And so Ryan Lindley, it was a disaster to watch him, but it was a disaster to watch the special teams of the Cardinals. Just Ted Ginn was dreadful. Butler was awful, just awful at punting. It's like a high school punter. And so there was nothing good to say about the special teams. There was nothing good to say about the play of Lindley at quarterback. But there was also very little good to say about the Cardinals' defense. And if you're being honest with yourself this past season, the defense was the area that was the real benchmark of this team, in particular the run defense. The run defense of the Cardinals, that's what was their bread and their butter this year. Here is Bruce Arians on a special group for him to coach as they wrapped things up with the Cardinals losing.
Our football team this year, I thought, overachieved. Because they cared about each other. This was a group of guys that really galvanized early. And it started last year. And the guys that came back brought that atmosphere that they would do anything for each other.
What I love about Bruce Arians is he tells truth. He doesn't do media spin. He doesn't sit there and weave and bob. When he says the word overachieve, that in a sense is a way of saying we didn't have the most talented roster, and they didn't. They didn't. So for those of you that say, hey, good ship Cardinal, our hometown heroes, everything is great, listen to this one more time about the coach and how he wraps up the season.
Our football team this year, I thought, overachieved.
Right there.
Because they cared about each other. This was a group of guys that really galvanized early. And it started last year. And the guys that came back brought that atmosphere that they would do anything for each other.
Guys, you ever been on a sports team and you didn't have the most talented group of players? You ever worked in a business and you looked across from you and you weren't really sure what you had as your teammate next to you, but somehow, some way, you were able to get the job done? That's exactly where we are with the Arizona Cardinals. And anybody who tries to make it out like, oh my gosh, this team is going to be repeat, you could go back through a lot of their games, and they were coached up, and they found ways to win late in games. They were not the most talented team. And I really respect Bruce Arians for being truthful on this. Not that he hasn't been in the past, but give me a coach who's just going to say it, because we all see it. We saw it at the end of the year. The injuries, yeah, they took their toll. There's no question the injuries took their toll. But if you look at the players that were out there defensively at the end of the season, the leader that was Larry Foote was put in some unwinnable situations defensively in the game against Carolina and even before that. And people were able to take advantage of him. I don't know if he's going to retire, and I'm going to talk more about him and Fitz on the other side of this segment. But I really think that if you're one of those, it's like the Suns last year. Oh my gosh, the Suns are so great. They're so exciting. They're so much fun to watch, and everything's headed in the right direction. And no, they're basically a team that's a 7 or 8 seed. They've had a nice little win streak here in the middle of the year, but I don't see them doing a whole heck of a lot. The Cardinals could very easily slide back. But I tend to be optimistic about this and say, I trust their management. I really trust their coaching staff. Their player personnel decisions for the most, you're always going to miss on some. Remember when Ted Ginn signed last year, how exciting Ted Ginn's going to be and how he had a terrific kickoff at the start of the year and everything's going to be, I don't know. Ted Ginn didn't do a whole lot of anything by the time the season ended. If anything, it looked like he was trying to stay out of the way of getting hurt. You know, that's just on that front. When Zastadil went down with an injury, it was a note. It was like this little itty bitty deal. Dave Zastadil, groin injury, early October, gone. What happens? You saw what happened on Sunday. It was Saturday. It was a disaster. It's just a disaster. So you have to have a roster that's complete, one through your practice squad all the way through. And to me, it looked like the Cardinals had a roster that was complete from about 1 to 40. You know, 1 to 38, somewhere in that range. When Andre Ellington went down, they didn't have the players to step forward. Talk all you want about how Michael Floyd has come up with some big plays, still too spotty for me. You talk all you want about how great Carson Palmer was. He's brittle. I don't know if he's going to be back. Was Drew Stanton that much better? Is the organization in a space where they need to draft a quarterback? And I am of the opinion that they need to develop, whether it's draft or trade, for a quarterback. Sorry to tell Ryan Lindley this. I think Ryan Lindley is spoiled now. I don't mean spoiled in a way of like, oh, you're getting everything you want. I just don't think he's going to be very good for the rest of his career. I don't know many people that can overcome what he just went through. Andrew Walters, somebody that we've had on the show quite a bit, who I know very well. Andrew was a high pick by the Oakland Raiders, went to Oakland, got the game hit out of him, knocked out of him, stuffed out of him, and he was never the same player. He ended up quitting the game, giving it up. I don't know if that's going to happen with Ryan Lindley, but put yourself in his situation. You got to go play against Seattle in arguably the biggest game in the history of the franchise at home. Then you've got to go to San Francisco, and then you've got to go into a playoff game. And he got a little better against San Francisco, and he was just awful against Carolina, and that's going to be the lasting impression. Most fans, most of you are not going to give him another chance. If I were to tell you the backup's going to be Ryan Lindley next year, they released Drew Stanton, you would go crazy. You would say, what are they thinking? It's not all on the kid, though. I'm not going to be one of those that absolve him completely. That's asinine. Anybody who's going to try to make the case that, oh, don't blame Ryan Lindley, then you really are smoking the stuff from the organization. Let's be truthful here. Let's be real here. I can't handle the sugarcoating. It was a good season. I think they're heading in the right direction, obviously from where they were, but their player personnel's got to get drastically better at the back end of their roster. It just does. We talk about fits on the other side, some of the other games, some of the news of the day. The college football title game is a week from today and how much the tickets are going for. The death of Stuart Scott, I've got some thoughts on that. The ratings from over the weekend. And I was in Tucson last night for just a dreadful basketball game, but it did involve the number 8 team in the nation. I have some thoughts there. Brad Sussmat with you, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, on a busy Monday.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360az.
I'm going to get to Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald and Todd Bowles in this segment. Paula Bova, News and Notes, in about 10 minutes. AZ Central sports columnist. Brad Sussmat with you. This segment of the show brought to you by Mareel Slater Insurance. John Slater, Tom Mareel, their insurance, terrific people to guide you through the health insurance. You may be saying, well, wait a minute, I thought that you had to be enrolled by the 15th of December. No, it's still going on for about another 45 days for you to get involved in your insurance, guys. They take care of my health insurance. Health insurance is something that's very private, something that everybody needs. And the people at Mareel Slater Insurance, I'm going to give you a website to go to here in a second. At Mareel Slater Insurance, they can help navigate you in the right direction, the place to go that makes sense for you, as they did with myself, my wife, my kids, and an ever-changing dynamic. Lori Brodzinski is the person who can help you at Mareel Slater Insurance. Just go to www.msinsurancellc.com. msinsurancellc.com. Don't put it off. Don't be one of those guys, you're sitting here taking in the show today saying, I got all my insurance needs covered on health care, Brad. I've got all. Do you really? Simple email over to them at Mareel Slater and say, do I have it all figured out? What direction should I go? msinsurancellc.com. msinsurancellc.com. Lori will help you out. Mareel Slater Insurance. So, on the Cardinals' side of the story, the concerns into the offseason, because I'm not going to sit here and rehash what we saw. What we saw was just horrific football on Saturday. And I want to start with Larry Fitzgerald first. Every team goes through an offseason that has players that leave. You never see the same team photo year after year. That's just the way it is in sports. And Larry Fitzgerald has been terrific here in his 11 seasons. This was Fitz after the game in Carolina, giving the predictable response.
The taste of defeat is still the only thing I can think about right now. You know, it's just it's all that's on my mind. You know, I'm just proud of the guys in this locker room. It's been a great season competing with these fellas, man, and this coaching staff. And I'm proud of the way guys conducted themselves and worked hard. And that's all I'm thinking about at this point.
Okay, so have you ever heard a player stand at his locker the day after they've lost and said, "I'm not going to be back because they didn't throw me the ball enough," or "I didn't like being moved to the slot," or "I'm not giving back any of my 23 point. Have you ever heard a player just say what needs to be said?
No, and I've also never heard a player quite as calculated with what he says to the media than Larry Fitzgerald. Everything he says has an agenda. You may not hear it immediately.
No, it's true.
But in 3 months, we might go back to this generic soundbite that I just played, and there might be a little something in there that says, "Oh yeah, even back then." But you never on the surface hear Fitz call out a teammate, call out the organization. It's always positive, 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 positive. Even the stuff with Ryan Lindley, they ask him, so, you know, some reporter kind of tried to pin the loss on Ryan Lindley. He's like, "Well, on the interception, I'm going to have to go back and look at the film. I probably should have given him a better opportunity to make that throw."
Sure. That's what a pro does.
Absolutely.
And during the course of the Saturday broadcast, it was pretty evident that Tirico and Gruden had talked to Fitz, whether before, after, text, back channels, whatever the way it is, and that he didn't feel like he was being used correctly in Arizona in the slot receiver spot. You know, there's too many different people whose opinions I respect that all had the same narrative coming out of the Fitzgerald camp. I don't know if it came from Dad. Oh, no. But
and it's rare, Brad. I mean, very, very rare in this day and age with salary caps and age and things like that, that you're going to find a player that's going to start and finish his career with the Cardinals.
No, it's
or with the same team.
With anybody in sports. Okay, anybody in sports. Larry Fitzgerald is our Kobe Bryant. Fans in Phoenix don't want to hear that, but that's just how it is. Fans would love to see him finish here, but I think any right-thinking human being who has run his or her business, who has presented the numbers, here's the numbers. We have $141 million to spend. Do we want to tie 23.9 up in one person?
And in March, he's due $8 million in a roster bonus.
So the numbers to me say that unless he gives money back, or does he really trust the people here in Arizona to win? I'm of the opinion I want Larry Fitzgerald to leave. I want Larry Fitzgerald to go chase a title. He's not going to win a Super Bowl here in Arizona.
Or in Minnesota.
Fans are going to say, "Well, how do you know that here in Arizona? We just had a great season." No, I think if you heard the head coach in the last segment, the head coach was being realistic. They had an overachieving season. Very seldom do we see overachievers win the whole thing. They may get there. The Kurt Warner team was a bunch of overachievers, in my opinion. Some good football players. But to me, I would like to see Larry Fitzgerald take this into his own hands. I also think the organization has to move forward. So, Larry Fitzgerald, there's one guy. Carson Palmer, if it indeed is mid-August, as I've heard in the agent community, mid-August, you'll see him back out in the field. Here is Carson Palmer asked if he's on track for a full recovery from his injury.
Absolutely. Just continue to rehab and hopefully be back sooner rather than later. We're looking forward to, it's a long way off now, and I know guys aren't looking forward to it, but I am. But to get going on OTAs and the mandatory mini and all those things.
Hopefully, sooner or later, which means, I don't know. And have you ever again had a player that stood there and said, "There's no way in hell I'm going to be back out on the field for OTAs"? Hopefully, maybe, sooner or later. Well, we've had a setback. Well, we're just being cautious. Heard all that for years and years and years. It's just the way it is in professional sports.
He didn't exactly say, "Yeah, I'll be back on the practice field in June for OTAs," did he?
We're all excited for it. We're all excited for it. That's what, you know. Here is more Carson Palmer about nothing about the NFL is predictable.
You got to roll with the punches. You know, it's a very humbling game. It's fair and unfair at different times, and you just can't stay stagnant. You can't just, assume that, all right, I'll do the same thing I did last year, and we'll be back here. You got to find ways to get better every offseason.
Okay. So, and he's just given the same generic stuff. That's what that is. It's just, let me get through this media session, and I'm just going to say a few things, and we're going to move on. And then I'm going to leave it to a guy like Sesmat to sit there and poke holes in it. I mean, would I like him to say, I'm going to be back on the field on May 1st? David Dunn, his agent, wouldn't allow that. So, you know, that's, here's facts. He's 35. He's brittle. He's been hit. He's had injuries. The organization, I know this is a narrative they hate hearing, but it's just a flat-out fact that when you miss on a top 10 pick with a quarterback, it sets you back for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. And so here we are, years and years and years and years and years later, and they still haven't really figured it out. This time it was no fault of Carson Palmer. He got hurt. Drew Stanton got hurt, but even in Drew Stanton's case, he was adequate. Would he have given the Cardinals a better shot at winning Saturday, than Ryan Lindley? Sure, from an experience standpoint, but let's not kid each other here. Drew Stanton is still having to turn around and hand off to guys who are practice squad players that were on other teams in the middle of the season. Now, the wide open shot to Fitz in the end zone that Ryan Lindley, I thought he was throwing it to me or Akeem Olajuwon. Yeah, Stanton makes that throw. Could be a different ball game. But Lindley was not out there punting horribly. And I mean horribly. Beyond horribly.
Do you think, Brad, that Carson Palmer was watching that game on Saturday and thinking to himself, okay, even with Andre Ellington, we were the second to worst rushing offense in the NFL. And did you see how the Cardinals' offensive line got whipped up front?
Just destroyed.
Carolina's got a good defense, don't get me wrong. Well, but in the back of Carson Palmer's mind, is he thinking to himself, okay, I've got an offensive line that's inconsistent at best, and I have no running game, and you want me to come back off of this injury and be just as good, if not better, than I was last year?
Sure.
We'll see.
Sure.
We'll see.
Is there a rush to get back, to get run over?
I would hope not.
You know, is the agent going to say, what are you doing to protect my guy?
And Carson Palmer doesn't need OTAs. Like, he knows the offense. He's a veteran. Like, he shouldn't rush back.
With mid-August.
Of course.
I'm fine with, but here's the thing on that. If I'm putting my roster together and I'm asking Carson Palmer to come back, we'll take what you just said. Is the offensive line fixed? Valdir was terrific this year. Valdir was a terrific addition.
Another unsung, just like Dave Zastel, an unsung great player for the Cardinals.
But Bobby Massey was on roller skates again. I mean, I've seen the Bobby Massey story before. He's got all kinds of talent. What Bobby has to do is play within himself. Got that. Heard that over and over. We hope Rob Hausler comes through and makes some big plays. Heard it. Got it. Understood. Hasn't happened consistently. Really not that hard. But you're going to ask Carson, if Fitz isn't here, you know, Michael Floyd has established himself as the number one receiver. No, he's not. He hasn't. And did you catch lightning in a bottle with John Brown? You certainly did. I mean, and that's great. You would hope that he could come through, but go look at the numbers at the end of the season. The Cardinals averaged, they didn't score more than 18 points down the stretch per game.
Ryan Lindley threw a touchdown pass to some guy named Darren Fells, and Marion Grice scored the only Cardinal rushing touchdown
on
Saturday.
Grice, baby. Darren Fells.
Just is how everyone drew it up back in the preseason.
Darren Fells, 1-1 at the free throw line. Oh, wait, wrong sport. You know, and he's scoring a touchdown.
There's a future there.
This is not me poking fun. This is me being real. This is me saying, hey, guys, this is a long ways from a finished product. You know, Patrick Peterson, this whole I'm the best, self-anointed, and all that nonsense, and how much he's paid, and if he's better than Richard Sherman, please, guys, don't go down that path over and over and over. Carolina went right at him. We're going to go right at you to start the game out. So they're not horrible, but there's certainly anybody, even people within their own walls, if they think, boy, we were just a play away here or a play away there. No, you were a long ways away once Carson went down. When Carson went down, that was really the end of the season. It really was. Andre Ellington, lightning in a bottle, there's a reason why he was a mid-pick, and running back shelf lives aren't very long. I'm not being negative here. I'm getting the vibe that I'm seeing some of my stuff here and notes people sent. I'm not being negative here. You could be in Cincinnati today. You know, the rest of the games over the weekend, outside of the Dallas-Green Bay game, they really weren't that interesting to me. Like, the two bowl games on New Year's Day did an all-time cable rating. The biggest audiences in cable TV history tuned in to watch the college football playoff. Biggest ratings ever, suggesting that while many consumers want to drop their cable subscription, sports broadcasts make it happen. Yeah, the Cardinals in Carolina did the most NFL watching on ESPN. But that was the first playoff game they've ever done. They had to pay $100 million to carry that game. Thanks for playing. Paula Bovin's next, news and notes. I know I'm all over the place on some of this stuff, but I'm pretty straightforward on the theme of where this team's got to go. We'll hear about Todd Bowles on the other side. The teams that are looking, Peter King will weigh in on what would be the best team for Todd Bowles to head to. And some other things in my mind, too, as we roll on. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmann.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmann.
Right off the top, we're going to have Paula respond to this from Calais Campbell.
Like, this team, you know, is so special. You know, it had all the potential in the world to be, you know, the best out there, you know, but just didn't work out that way. It just wasn't in the cards this year. You know, but this team, I mean, this is a team I'll remember forever. You know, a lot of tough guys, a lot of smart guys, a lot of guys who are prepared the right way. You know, a lot of guys I would love to be teammates with for as long as I can.
Okay, was this a special season, as Calais put it?
It was, and I'm going to be the person, and I know you're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to make excuses. I'm making an excuse for the Cardinals and those injuries. I mean, it finally, I think, caught up to them, and you know, it's hard, I think, for Cardinals fans now to embrace what happened, but I think when you look at what this team dealt with, I'm not surprised how it ended. I don't think any of us really are.
No, I would agree with you on that. But let me go down this path and shoot me out of the water if you think I'm just totally wrong here. What this season showed me is Steve Keim has a roster of about 1 through 40, okay? And the depth did catch up with them. This is not a finished product by any stretch of the imagination, and Bruce Arians used the word overachieved. And I would really agree with him on that, that this team did go to heights they probably weren't billed to go to.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think that there are still spots they need to address. But, the good thing about the Cardinals next season is they're getting back players without – having to pay for them, you know what I mean? In the sense of you're getting an elite quarterback coming back and you're not, you know, signing them from free agency. You're going to get some defensive players back that are very impactful on the defense. So
maybe if we're talking about Washington, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we're talking, I think, you know, Dockett obviously got to talk about his future, but there's the Dockett factor. There's a Washington who I'm guessing will be back, but We'll probably have to serve maybe 4 games for the domestic abuse issue. I don't think that's not been determined yet. So, you know, there's a lot of variables out there. But, I mean, I think, too, with the defense, even this season, it, you know, they're just tired. I mean, by the end of the season, they were suffering from, you know, the injuries. And you're right, though. I mean, there's depth issues that this team needs to address, and I'd like to see maybe – you know, this team maybe address with some cornerbacks, maybe another linebacker. There's things they need to talk about, no question.
Okay, so I would go down the path of, in order, it's time to go draft a quarterback that is a high draft pick, that's a long-term answer. They're still paying the penance for missing on a guy 10 years ago almost now.
Right.
And they just are. They didn't develop them, and when teams draft one that high and they miss, it sets them back, and they keep having this revolving door. Carson Palmer is brittle. He's a nice quarterback, but he's brittle, Paula. Ryan Lindley, I think he's spoiled now in the way that I just can't see him coming back here and playing.
Certainly nothing not against this organization. No
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah, it's
no
nothing, way. Nothing against him. It's just he was put in a bad spot. Their running back spot is – to me, it's really up in the air. The shelf life of running backs is typically very short, and Andre Ellington took beating after beating, and it finally caught up to him. You can't ask Ryan Lindley to turn around and hand off to practice squad guys, and that's what they were doing at the end of the season. So they've got to address running back. In Larry's case, you tell me, what do you think happens with Larry Fitzgerald?
Well, two things. First of all, I totally agree with your running back comment. And can you imagine like a Melvin Gordon on this team? It just, that's what this team needs. But as far as Larry, I think it all depends on Larry. They're going to, you know, ask him to take a pay cut. He's going to have to decide if he wants to. My gut feeling says no, because I don't think he was happy with his role in this offense. I think at 31, you know, Larry's never been known as a burner. I mean, he's not never been the fastest guy on among those wide receivers. But I still think he feels like he can go long. He's a great possession receiver. He's smarter than any other receiver on that field. We've seen some dumb routes run and miscues and drops and everything else. I mean, he didn't have that really with Larry. I just don't know if he's confident enough that his role in this offense is going to expand, because they did not use him that way. They used him on short routes and on blocking and other things for the most part this season.
News and notes, Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist. Good to partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin with Brad Sussmat. I think he should go chase a title. I think he's at that stage. Go chase a title. I'm fine with that. You?
Well, yeah, obviously he's done what anyone would ask him, and more as far as how he's responded to this community, interacted with this community,
right,
made some great plays. So if that's what he wants to do, all power to him. But can you imagine if that's Seattle, which could use a wide receiver,
yes,
or if that's San Francisco and he's there with Anquan? I mean, those are kind of scary scenarios, I think, for Cardinals fans about where he might end up. And I would imagine for the team, too.
But if you're Steve Keim, and I know he's said that it's baked into the budget.
Right.
It can be unbaked. Cakes end up falling apart. You made a lasagna a couple weeks ago that was terrific. But if you leave an ingredients out, you can go redo it. You know what I mean by
sure.
that? So you know, in Larry's case, I'm of the opinion, go chase your title, because it's not happening in Arizona in the next year or two. And I don't think he has that many years left.
Right.
Darnell Dockett is sitting there with a cap number of almost $10 million. And he's Darnell Dockett in name, even before he got hurt. I didn't get the vibe that it was the same player. He was a descending talent. So, yeah, you got to make a tough call on him. But to me, if you don't have Larry and you don't have Darnell back here, it is a transitional phase. But there's some other leaders that have developed. There's some other guys that have come back. If a guy like Larry Foote leaves, I think that's a huge blow to their defense at linebacker.
You're right. Obviously, he still has it as far as his play on the field, but his leadership, you know, the way he would call guys out, the just what he showed young guys about how to prepare to play in this league, there was great value in that. So, yeah, you know, you feel like I think there's a lot of good things to look at about what this team has coming back next season, but they can't sort of rest on that. They've got to be very active in making the right decisions in the draft and the right decisions about how they manage that salary cap.
Because what Arian said yesterday about overachieving, this could really slip backwards in a hurry. His point was, we're not there. And he may know more. Obviously, he knows more about his team than I do. But I just look at where they are and how they're built right now. If Larry leaves, I don't trust Michael Floyd to replace him. I don't. So far, he's been a very average first-round pick. I don't think having this corner that is being paid the most money of anybody at his position means that he's all that great. The numbers didn't lie this year. And Carolina went right at Patrick Peterson to start out the game.
There's got to be some serious soul-searching going on there that offseason with Peterson and with the team, but mostly with Peterson, because he just wasn't even the same player that he was before that contract. And, you know, we know things happen when guys get their contracts, and you hope that's not the case, but I don't think he was the same player that we saw early on, you know, he's such an instinctual player, and sometimes he missed, but he wasn't getting beat like the way he's gotten beat this season.
So I saw you last night down in Tucson, mm-hmm. and, you know, when you drive down for a bloodbath, and the bloodbath was 2 minutes in, and all that was left to determine was the final score, the ASU fans gave me the typical narrative, fire Herb, switch the program up, everything will... I tend to look at last night and say, you know what? It looked to me like a lot of, hello, my name is, nice to meet you, and I have no clue what you're going to do as my teammate on the ASU side of things. On the U of A side, I wasn't overly impressed with how they played start to finish, Paula. I mean, they were fine against a very inferior opponent. There were some terrific moments, but they've got a lot of work to do still.
They do, and I think the key for them will be peaking at the right time. I mean, and that's always the key with those teams you see in the Final Four. And that could happen with this group. I mean, I think there are they're missing some of the leadership from last season, what Nick Johnson gave them. They're missing the decision-making of Aaron Gordon. And I wrote about it today. I think Stanley Johnson is an amazing talent. You know, 6'7", 245, as athletic and gifted as anyone on the court. And he was brilliant the first half and kind of disappeared the second half. And you know, if they can get him to be the guy, the go-to guy, and have him play consistently toward the end, they'll be a lot better off. And, you know, I think this is a big year for them because as much as Sean Miller reloads, and he's amazing recruiter, amazing coach, they're going to probably lose, four guys, I think, to the NBA next season. And that's going to impact that lineup. So I think this is a big year for them.
Okay. Are you and I on the same plane in terms of where Herb is with his program?
I think this is my opinion, a make or break year with Herb. I mean, I think the administration there is watching him closely. I think they want to see that at the end of this season, this team is playing, like you mentioned, the whole, you know, they're trying to figure each other out thing. I agree with that. So she got new guys, JC guys. But if they don't see great development by the end of the season, I'd have to think they'd make a move with Herb.
I think here's the thing on Herb. When people bring up that he got his contract extended, that doesn't mean jack in this day and age. That doesn't mean anything. So just put that off to the side. When they play U of A here the first week of February, I think it's February 7th, Herb better win that game or at least make it very, very competitive because I don't sense from Ray that Ray's going to sit around and tolerate these 25 and 30-point blowouts. And if you don't have guys like Goodman and Scott, and I do think those are two good players.
Sure.
Problem is, they've missed on so many players through the years. It's kind of like the Leinart comparison I threw out there. When you miss, eventually it comes back to bite you.
Yeah.
And right now, they've missed on guys transferring out, guys they thought they could play, couldn't play dead. They don't have a point guard to save their lives. If they don't get things developed, and Ray is sitting there with those boosters, and they get their doors kicked in by U of A the early part of February, it's really going to ramp up because last night it was ramping up pretty good on my end from fans, and I'm sure you're hearing the same thing today.
Oh, absolutely, and you're right. I mean, I think this is why one of the reasons Ray Anderson is here. I mean, he's evaluating these coaches and making decisions. They just played $250,000 to a wrestling coach. They're taking care of a baseball coach. They're very serious, I think, about wanting this program and all these teams to raise a level of play. And so I think they like Herb. I think they like what how much you sort of feel like you can trust him to keep the program clean. You feel like, he's going to surround himself with good players and he's a good, smart guy. But the bottom line, it's college sports and you have to win or your job doesn't survive. And this conference is tough. I mean, God, look at Utah. They've been better. I mean, people thought they were good. They're better than anybody, almost, next to U of A. They go up, I think AC goes up to Oregon State this week. They're a lot better now that they've changed their coach. So there's no easy victories in this league.
All right. What are you working on this week? Anything good?
I am working on something good, but I'll leave
it
at that, Brad. Sorry.
Are you working on Robert Sarver buying a soccer team?
No, that was pretty interesting, though. I just read that story. Yeah. That one came out of the blue for me.
All right. So you're saying there's something really good that you're working on for later this week?
Possibly.
Oh, come on. What do you mean possibly?
I can't.
No, I don't care what it is. Don't just say possibly.
Sometimes these things don't go quite as you plan, but you hope they do. That's where I am right now.
That's fine. Fine. All right. See ya.
Okay.
Get out of here. It's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. The segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. My Santan Ford experience with my Ford Fusion over the last couple of weeks for the holidays, since we have not been together for a while. Yeah, I've been all over the place. A friend of mine, he handles some of our business end of things, says, do you ever take a break? Do you ever just slow down and take your foot off the pedal? And the answer is, I'm having fun doing this. I'm very passionate about what I do every day, including what I drive. So yesterday, I got to go to Tucson. I've got to be there for the ASU-U of A basketball game. And I swing by and pick up Big Bad Jordy Ham, and the two of us drive down Tucson, get a lot of work done, good discussion, comfortable, reliable, great gas mileage for the company. Ford Fusion made a lot of sense for me after the game. Stop in, get some good food down in Tucson, found some good grub, nice conversation. Jordan sat there and edited on the way back, dropped him off at his vehicle, drove home, back at Channel 5 this morning at 5:45 doing my thing. So I'm on the go, and I've got to have a vehicle that's dependable and reliable that makes a lot of sense for me, and that's the Ford Fusion. How about you? I mean, if you really thought about it here at the start of 2015, that you're in that vehicle that makes a lot of sense, stop on in and see General Manager Tim Hovick and company. Tim's terrific, big-time sports supporter of the sports here in the Valley, in particular with Arizona State and the Cardinals and the Diamondbacks. That's at Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. So Todd Bowles is going to start interviewing later this week. I'll give you some of the teams. You'll hear from Peter King on which one he thinks is the best destination. And I tease it there with Paula a little bit. Suns owner Robert Sarver looking to buy an iconic soccer club and how this all came about. Really interesting story. That's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Chairman of the board is Jared Nielsen. Jared gets it done. He does. I think in 2015, I'm going to do a better job of paying him. What do you think, Eric?
You're the boss.
What do you think? Should you, I do a better job paying you in 2015?
You make the payroll.
What about Jared Cohen?
I never hold my breath on payment.
Do you? All right. You know, the NFL does some things I look at and say, whose idea was it to, let's put together an all-star crew of officials. Let's break up guys that have worked together and have had a really good season, evidently, if they're making the All-Star team. And let's put them all together, kind of like what we're going to have here in a couple of weeks with a Pro Bowl game, which I just think is unwatchable, but a million people watch. But they watch car wrecks, too, so, you know, it doesn't mean it's any good.
That was a nice transition, by the way, going from payments into referees. It's good.
So
I see where you're headed with this.
The Cowboys, anytime the Cowboys... did you see the front of the Philadelphia Daily News today? I retweeted it.
I did not.
Had something along the lines of conspiracy theories in Dallas continue, you know, all the way back to JFK. So I didn't see it in real time. I was at a sporting event that really wasn't a sporting event. I was at a bloodbath in Tucson, but I did go back and watched it. And this play... Well, this is the play that everybody's talking about today. I'm sure most of you have seen it. You may not have heard it by now. Cowboy rookie linebacker Anthony Hitchens out on the field against Lions tight end Brandon Pettigrew.
He's back to throw. He's going deep to the left. Turn around. The ball hit the defender in the back. It hit Hitchens in the back, and he's going to get flagged.
Pass interference, okay. Number 59. Defense, automatic. First down.
That's a horse spit call. He got a little bit of his shirt tail.
Full pass interference. The defender did not make contact.
There.
Okay,
oh, how about that? They waved it off.
Okay, that's Brad Sham, who's been there forever. He's a legend. And if you couldn't tell, it was the Cowboy broadcast. It certainly wasn't the Lion broadcast. Look, he tackled him, in my view.
No question. I mean, there's just no question.
It's just brutal.
You got it right the first time.
Just brutal.
Trust your instincts, NFL refs.
Just. So, you know, a reverse pass interference call. And Dez Bryant is so talented, but he's such a fool when he runs out onto the field. And, of course, these Cowboy yahoos today are saying, oh, no, that wasn't a penalty. Of course it wasn't. You guys don't know what a penalty is. Of course they got it right today because it's your team. If the role is reversed, you know, if you're Jim Caldwell, the coach of the Lions, I would have liked to see him go for it on the 4th-and-1, but if you're Jim Caldwell, this is what you're left to wonder.
Not a good enough one. I'm going to leave it at that. It's not good enough.
Okay, what can you do? Say anything to the league or what happens now?
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, I'm not going to sit up here and act like that was the call that made a difference in the game. We still had our chances.
Okay, it was a call that made a difference. And by the way, why is somebody asking him, what are you going to do now? Well, I'm going to throw a chair. What do you mean? What are you going to do now? Come on.
It would be great, though, if one NFL head coach just completely disregarded the price of the fine and just said, you know what? I've been in this league a long time. That was the worst bleeping call, bleeping. I don't care if you bleeping fine me.
Right.
$5 million bleeping dollars. Just once. Just once. I'd love to see a coach do that. But they never do. Even in college, you're like, well, we can't really talk about
Matthew Stafford said, I thought it was a good call at first. I was told he did not make contact with the receiver. Okay. Whoever told you that was lying. Was lying.
And the best thing, Brad, I know you were in Tucson. You didn't see all the game. But the Cowboys' offensive line was just... You could honestly look back at the tape. They were illegal hands to the face, holding. Yeah. And Ndamukong Suh had back-to-back sacks, and then he got held on like three consecutive pass plays.
So in fairness, I watched the game when I got back, okay, and I saw your Twitter feed and your tweets about that. And yeah, I mean, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
Like, they're showing the slow-mo, and it's even more blatant in slow motion where, like, the guy, basically the Cowboys offensive lineman has his arm in a headlock under Sue's neck as he's trying to get to Tony Romo.
Doesn't things like this just show the sheer ineptitude and incompetence of the NFL to sit around and say, what a great idea. Let's break up officiating crews. We'll put together an all-star group for when we get into the playoffs. That's just absurd in the NFL. It's one thing in baseball because the speed of the game is much, much different. Different type of game, okay? In the NFL, you're going to sit there and say, Pete Morelli, your team, your squad, you were really good, but the rest of your squad was okay, so we're going to put you with other guys we think are really good. And then you see the position of the back judge who threw the flag.
It tarnished a really good game, too. It tarnished a really well-played, evenly matched teams in the wild card, something we didn't get in the other three games.
Yeah, I mean, and today, of course, the Cowboy fans are like, oh, that was the greatest call ever. And they actually love watching Chris Christie sit there and hug it out with Jerry Jones. I don't know if I've ever rooted for a team more than I want the Green Bay Packers to win this week just because of that type of play. And their fans, Cowboy fans, are right there at the top of the worst. Like, it was beautiful to see what happened to Florida State. I loved watching Oregon just crush them, just destroy them for every last bit of how they acted. And for the Cowboys to sit there and Dez Bryant run out on the field and the league just look the other way, absurd. And it's just absurd.
That's the beauty of sports, Brad, because when the Cowboys are bad, it's always, you know what, the NFL really needs the Dallas Cowboys to be good again. And then when the Cowboys make the playoffs, people like you are like, oh, please, someone beat them.
Well, just beat them, especially after what happened and how it went down. The game this coming weekend, okay, the Cowboys-Packers game on Sunday will be the highest rated game ever for a playoff game. It has to be. It just has to be. There's nothing that's going to come close to the buildup and the history, and they're going to show all the old grainy footage of the Packers and Cowboys and the Ice Bowl. They're going to go through all of that. The other games, I have a hard time getting excited watching the Ravens. For whatever reason, I'm just not big into Harbaugh and what the Ravens are all about. Not the most exciting team. Carolina, I hope Seattle crushes them into oblivion. Because I'll tell you what, Carolina was horse bleep on Saturday. They couldn't get out of their own way. That game should have been 50 or 60 to nothing, as bad as the Cardinals were. And they got a guy who couldn't figure out how to return punts to save his life. And drop balls and thrown balls and Cam Newton all over the place. It wasn't like that was a great team. See, the NFL's talking about expanding the playoffs. I don't know, guys. The field was pretty lean this weekend. If not for that controversial call, the games, for the most part, were pretty nondescript. And if Detroit hangs on and wins, it's a nice story. But you tell me, is watching the Bengals every year, it's like the same old slop. Watching Ben Roethlisberger, that doesn't do much for me. And the Steelers, it's just like, it's the Steelers. This weekend, the late game on Sunday is Indy at Denver. I think Andrew Luck's terrific. I think going up to Denver, Denver's probably going to win that game, although Peyton Manning missed two practices this last week. Am I supposed to make something out of that? You know, the Ravens at New England, will Suggs try to tear the head off of Tom Brady? I'm sure that he will. That's a pretty interesting angle. But I don't, you know, I'm not all that wound up about any teams. The best Super Bowl from an interest standpoint would be Dallas and New England or Dallas and Denver. I don't think Seattle's going to bring that much national interest if it is the Seahawks again. Green Bay would be terrific to have Aaron Rodgers and the Cheesehead Nation. I don't think they're a great team. I mean, is there truly a great team left? Or is it just a battle of attrition at this time of year? Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Every day we join you live at 10 a.m. right here on Sports360AZ.com. We have guests on a national plane. Tomorrow, Peter King is with us for our weekly Monday morning quarterback chat with the one and only SI.com's Peter King. He's with us every week, 20 straight weeks of Peter King. It's awesome. And we have other insiders as well. You can check out all of our content at Sports360AZ.com. You can also shoot me an email, things you like, don't like. I don't care. It's Brad at Sports360AZ.com. I'm pretty easy to reach.